Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Kyle Roering joins us. He's executive director of the Great Basin Water Network, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
The new year is bringing new ways to win big during the $175,000 Winner Wonderland giveaways at Tamarack Casino. Win up to $5,000 in cash every week and a top prize of $20,000 in cash during the grand finale drawing. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Kyle Roering. He is executive director of the Great Basin Water Network. Pleasure to have you back.
Good to be here.
So, it's quiet time in the water issues for the Colorado. Right now, as we speak, there are meetings going on in Las Vegas. Please fill us in with the latest.
Well, Sam, I think, unfortunately, there isn't much to report on except a bunch of differing sides throwing out their opinions and thoughts on what they believe the new management regime should be on the Colorado River. Now, I think the biggest update is that sometime around the end of the year, whatever that approximation means, is that we would get a pretty large regulatory document outlining those different proposals that all these sides have been pitching for basically years now. We are hearing that that this document will be released by the Trump administration sometime soon. We're hearing that it'll likely be a 45-day public comment period on a document that'll really span thousands of pages, most likely, if it's similar to what the last round was. So that'll be some light holiday reading, potentially. But what that really implies is that there, if that document does come out, there will be a decision made by the Trump administration sometime within the first or second quarter of 2026.
Isn't it supposed to be like February?
Yes, there's also been a February deadline, and that's the thing. We've been playing the deadline game for a long time. Really, in reality, the deadline that I've gone off of, the existing management framework, in reality, expires on December 31st of this year. Now, because of some provisions, they're able to extend that and essentially use all of 2026 to buy time, finalize a final agreement. So, you know, it's all clear as mud, but really, what are we talking about? We're talking about how to manage a limited supply of water where, you know, the top scientists in the nation are telling us there's going to be less in the future. So how that management is undertaken, that's the real challenge, especially when you have states like Nevada, California, and Arizona, to their credit, which have committed to using less. And then you have other states like Colorado and Utah and Wyoming and New Mexico that are absolutely committed to using more.
Okay, so also a part of that is that the upper basin states, and for those that are not aware, and they can certainly read, you know, volumes from what you have produced, and the Review Journal has done a terrific job of covering this story as well. The upper basin states not only are looking at growth, but they're also looking at a lessening supply of snow and therefore water for them to be able to utilize. So they have concerns there. I was reading a story just in the last 24 hours, I think it was Alan Hilaly story, talking about California using a decent amount less of their water in the last year than they had done previously. And one of the farmers was talking about how she was proud that they were using drip irrigation. And I about thumped my head on the wall thinking, wow, just now? But I mean, better now than never. It just seems that in the past, you know, and we've been covering this for 20 odd years now, starting out with Pat Mulroy, there always seemed to be the overview of the government, but at the same time, the water managers for the individual states were trying to work together to get things done that didn't require this overarching government, you know, hand on it. Do you think that that is still the case, that in private those discussions are occurring, or is it really what we're seeing in public? Because invariably there's the public side and the private side.
Yeah, I think what you have described was the de facto way that business was done for a long time on the Colorado River system. For example, in the development of the current management framework, what we casually described as the 2007 interim guidelines. Those guidelines were basically the result of the seven Colorado River Basin states getting together in a room, hashing out a framework. And that happened as the result of, some might remember, the past Secretary of Interior, Gail Norton, really just told everybody, get in a room, figure it out.
Right, right.
And so that happened, and they did figure it out. And now the federal government released back then, 20-some years ago, they released a big document, a giant environmental review, and they had the state's plan, and they had other plans, and a conservation plan. And ultimately, it was the state's plan that won the day. The interesting thing is that when you look at what the state's plan ultimately was, like when you see what the hydrology was, and then you compare that to with like what was predicted, you know, the hydrologic scenarios that we saw were in like the 10% of likelihood. And so it that has made me scratch my head a little bit, like, well, what is the wisdom of the states when these people get together, when these, like, the most powerful people in the river system get together and hash out a deal? How accurate is it going to be? What are the odds going to be that what they're saying is likely to happen actually happen?
Are you saying that water planning in this manner is kind of like putting baccarat into the state government as a funding source?
There's always a great deal of uncertainty in any government proceeding. And and that uncertainty is magnified when you talk about water management, water predictability. You know, some of the best models that we have, for example, that are made by the USGS, the gold standard, come with a margin of error of like plus or minus 35%.
Holy moly.
And that's the gold standard. So uncertainty is what this is all about. How do we manage uncertainty now, and how do we manage uncertainty moving forward? Everybody has their opinion on that.
Okay, I'm not sure what date this show is going to air, but I know as we're taping it that the governors and the water managers are going to D.C. for a big confab, correct?
Oh, they're always going back and forth.
Right, but isn't there one where everybody is supposed to be?
Oh, I could imagine that would be happening if there's going to be a release of a major environmental review coming sometime soon.
Do governors know enough about water to be, or are they there to just impose on their people?
Well, governors have a varying degree of roles throughout the Colorado River Basin, especially as it relates to how they choose their top negotiators. In some states, it's a state engineer. In some states, like Nevada, we have folks like Mr. Ensminger from the Southern Nevada Water Authority. In other states, like California, you have a Colorado River Board of California. And so it can vary to each state. I think each governor is surrounded by a whole team of people who will give that respective governor, I think enough of a download for them to be able to articulate things soundly. But you can get into the weeds real quickly, and that is not necessarily a place I think where any governor, unless they're an engineer by trade or something, might want to spend a lot of time. But that's what governors are supposed to do. They're supposed to delegate.
All right, so. You know, in the last few years, we've seen deals between Nevada and California with the Southern Nevada Water Authority funding projects in Southern California that are therefore freeing up water that can be taken from the Colorado for Nevada because of the money that we're investing there. That seems to me to be actually a very smart way of doing business.
It's a really smart way of doing business, and it's what I advocate for. I think when, that is, you're not just figuring out solutions for Lake Mead. You're figuring out solutions for how to make a city like Los Angeles more sustainable. And I don't use that word casually because it's thrown around so egregiously. You're making Los Angeles more sustainable by saying, like, well, we're going to rely less on the Colorado River system. We're going to rely less on places like Owens Valley. And they're going to rely less on groundwater in their more immediate vicinity. That's smart business.
Okay, so why, it gets talked about every once in a while, but why is there not a plan for California to take all the floodwaters from Los Angeles and capture those? Because it's billions of gallons of water that in a flash flood end up in the ocean. And it's and they keep saying, well, we should capture this,
yeah.
But it's a 30-year project and they haven't started on day one yet.
Yeah. Well, you probably have a whole host of issues at the federal and state level. In a state like California, if you're going to do a major type of storm runoff capture project, there will probably be a need to have a review under what we call CEQA, their environmental review statute. You may need reviews under federal law, depending on the jurisdictions. California real estate is not necessarily cheap. You might have to have some serious eminent domain conversations if you are looking to build that type of infrastructure. You'd also, coastal communities, you would have to look and see what are the impacts on a coastal community if you're taking away all that fresh water from right near where they live. Would it have an impact on wildlife?
But it's going right out to the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the issue? It's not affecting these communities. They built, these trenches to be able to take the water out so it doesn't flood communities.
Yeah.
Retention basins. I'm no expert.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at common sense. You got the water there. We need the water. California is the biggest user. California now seems to be where they are much more thinking about, because they're looking at the reality of the Colorado. They're thinking about ways that they can help. My goodness, they've gotten to drip irrigation. What's next? They're going to call Israel and say, send some people over. We heard Nevada did this 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the big thing would be considering what you would call a rapid infiltration basin, which is something that the mines do throughout Nevada.
What does that mean?
Really, that is about
when you're digging and water is filling up the thing, and then you take the water out and then put it into the Humboldt, for example.
It is a means of recharging aquifers rapidly and quickly. Because I think that is, like, if one of the best things you could do with storm water is when you have paved over surfaces, I think the smart argument is, well, all this water is, you know, it's going out into the ocean or it's just evaporating away. If you can take that water and somehow efficiently recharge it in an aquifer and store it for that drought season when your Colorado River allocations are being cut, when you might not be getting as much from Owens Valley or aquifers that you've been pumping for years.
So these are not deep geologic aquifers. These are close to the surface.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Nevada has an agreement with Arizona to do this. Because
we save water there. We store water there.
It's happening all over the place. I think California can do a lot better. And again, you know, the great irony of Kyle Roehring representing the Great Basin Water Network, you know, who was at one time suing the state of Nevada and suing the SNWA over this, I can say it proudly, is that the other states need to be following Nevada's lead. And I can only imagine how frustrated, our team is. And I wouldn't agree with them on everything, too, because I think certain ways that California manages their water, they actually have a right to do it. And like drip irrigation, for example, you know, there are arguments among people about, well, yeah, drip is good on efficiency. But one of the things about flood irrigation that's good is you get to recharge your aquifers because some of that water goes into the ground and then it gets used again. And so it's...
That's a tough argument to make with the Carson sink and the Humboldt sink.
These are the arguments that are happening in the water world every day, especially in systems where you have a lot of groundwater pumping going on near that flood irrigation. It's a way to recharge what you're using from your pumping.
Are we doing that on those two rivers?
You'd have to look at every permit, but there's flood irrigation going on every river system in the state. And so, you know, that does bring certain types of benefits when you also have a lot of pumping. Like I was talking to somebody in the Humboldt River system just the other day, and he's one of the few flood irrigators left. It's not that much water, but you look downstream of where this person is, and it's all center pivots used with groundwater. So it's complicated, Sam. It's clear as mud.
Clear as mud. That's the second time you use that. I'm gonna have to write that down. We'll be right back with Kyle Roehring after this.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
ProGroup Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, ProGroup takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. ProGroup Management, workers' comp that works for you.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Kyle Roerink. He is the executive director of the Great Basin Water Network. You brought up the state water engineer. What in the world happened?
Well, there's, I would say this, you know, the leader of the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources under NRS Chapter 532 has the discretion to remove a state engineer as at his whim. And I think, you know, there's the argument you could say, you know, things have run its course, but then there's the argument that you could say that there were a lot of powerful interests that were not happy with the current leadership or the now past leadership of the state engineer. And I think, you know, what this state engineer did that was in many respects, you know, building off of some things that had happened, but was unprecedented, was, you know, really getting ready to clamp down on issues of conflict. And what do I mean by conflict, Sam? What I mean by conflict is that when you have some people who are entitled to get water and they're not getting water, but other people who are maybe junior in use, and you know, I describe it as
senior,
the totem pole of the priority doctrine. You know, some of those people were getting water. There are also conversations about who may or may not get water in the future and how would that work. And there was a certain vision in place, and I think some folks were concerned about that vision, and so, you know, political appointments never last forever. They are not like diamonds usually, especially as administrations change. But
now a movie illusion.
Yeah.
Do you want to name any names?
Well, I think as it relates, you know, this really, I think you could say really was related to the Humboldt River, at least most recently. So who are the major interests on the Humboldt River? Well, you have county governments, but you also have the mining industry. And you also have a number you could call them, you know, entities that are buying up water for
Winnemucca Farms,
for like Winnemucca Farms on water asset management. It's a hedge fund, and there are a number of other businesses like that in the state, like Vidler, which is now owned by one of the nation's largest publicly traded home builders. So, you know, there are a lot of those interests that have, you know, from what I've heard, that had kind of put a target on Adam's back over the past year, especially. But I think there are other grievances where, you know, industry wants applications approved faster. And I totally understand that. But at the same time, it's just like, well, where are you making your applications? And what are the interests that the state has to consider as it relates to water availability, conflict, and the public interest when the state has to approve permits? And so it's just like, the state is constantly thinking about when it makes a decision, are we going to get sued over this? And the problem for the state is it's not just like somebody who protests a permit request from a mine or a big industry. You know, the mine or the big industry could also sue the state if the state makes the wrong decision in their eyes on an application. So darned if you do, darned if you don't.
All right, let's take another break. More with Kyle Roerink after this timeout.
Ring in the new year with newfound cash during the New Year Cash Extravaganza only at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $7,500 in giveaways every week. Then win big with $10,000 in cash and free play during the grand prize party January 31st. Start 2026 with a bang only at the Carson Valley Inn.
You're in trouble with the law. It's easy to think you'll lose everything, but there is hope. I'm Attorney Orrin Johnson. Your first step is to hire a serious attorney with the experience to successfully navigate the legal system for you.
Sometimes hope means addiction treatment instead of jail and making sure you're treated fairly.
Sometimes hope means fearless trial attorneys who will stand up to the government when they get it wrong. Call or text Orrin Johnson Law.
We'll make a plan.
You'll take back your life.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the heat back on today. Call us today and we'll fix it today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why freeze for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your furnace fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance. Where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Kyle Roerink. He's the executive director of the Great Basin Water Network. Thacker Pass was having issues with water with a rancher. That seems to have been resolved. Was it resolved the old-fashioned way?
I think it was a resolution between two parties who found an agreement, because there was a major conflict over water rights. And I think... the result of that can remain between those two parties, but that part of it has been settled. And
sounds like a financial arrangement.
I think it is.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you always for coming on. I appreciate you being
here. My pleasure.
And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Check out our archive section on NevadaNewsmakers.com. Great interviews going back as far as 2002. Really worth watching. We'll see you on the next one.